Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I am Judy Davis, and I'm here with my co-host, Sandy Fowler. And today we are talking about body image. And it's funny because I can think back and I want everyone to just take a moment and imagine if every time you or your teen looks in the mirror, that they feel good about who they are and how they see themselves. Sadly, for many of us and our children, that isn't the case. And that's why I'm so excited today to dive in and uncover why that is and find some things that we can actually do about it. I know for myself, I look back on my life as a teenager in high school and college, and I wish that I could look in the mirror, even now sometimes, I wish I could look in the mirror and go, wow, I like what I see in my reflection. And it wasn't just about messages I received at home or messages I got out in the world. The reality was that I got all kinds of messages from everywhere, and it impacted me in such unhealthy ways. In fact, while you know I share a lot about my life and our experiences with our son and just things that have happened, a lot of you listeners don't know that I personally have struggled with body image issues my whole life. It's been a battle, that negative self-talk, even eating disorders. So I'm excited to kind of dig in and uncover so much about why this is going on in our culture.
Yeah, Judy, you know, you mentioned the messages that we hear from other people and from media. And that's what's really interesting to me is how those things affect us in our view of ourselves. And a lot of times it may not have had an obvious negative impact or anything like that, but it does impact us. When I was growing up, everybody kept commenting on how tall I was. Then all of a sudden I got to college and I'm hanging out with these guys who are over 6 foot and I'm 5'6", and they started calling me shorty. And it wasn't an issue or a problem, but I still remember, you know, 51 years old now, and I still remember the first time someone called me that because it just like, it messed with my identity in some way. And so I'm really, really interested in digging into this with Dana Sukow. She's amazing. And she is a body image and eating disorder prevention expert. Dana overcame bulimia, binge eating disorder, and exercise compulsion that had resulted in permanent injuries for herself. So now she is helping the rest of us. She offers a non-clinical, holistic approach to putting our kids on a path toward body love, self-empowerment, and self-acceptance. She is an international speaker, a frequent summit panelist, and a keynote speaker. She works with schools all the way from elementary through college age kids. And we'll give you her website later, but you'll find her on Good Morning America, the Oprah Winfrey Network, Vogue, Huffington Post, Yahoo, Elle, 17 Magazine, and much, much more. So Dana, we're really, really excited, as Judy said, and honored that you are taking time here with our Mighty Parenting community to share with us what we as parents need to know raising our kids today.
Oh, thank you so much. That was such a beautiful introduction. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to speak with you as well. It's such an important topic. And, you know, I think we were talking a little bit earlier of just, it is so prevalent. I think every single person has a body image story, a body shame story, a body bullying story. And I think it's just this, it's such a thread that we all share, but nobody really talks about it because we're just so stuck in shame. So I'm always excited to have these conversations because I think that they are imperative to raising a future generation that doesn't hate their bodies.
Wouldn't that be amazing? So Dana, what is going on with teens today and how they view themselves?
I mean, you know, there's so much. I think we have to unpack it in pieces. Obviously, you know, we have 80% of teen girls that don't like their bodies. We have I think it's 65% of teen girls have eating disorders. We have 80% of women that avoid events in their life because of how they look. Like, they won't go to a job interview because they quote unquote feel fat. They won't go on a date because their skin's broken out. I mean, we are so wrapped up in our external appearances that it really is kind of holding us back on ways that we are, you know, as women are getting equality, or just ways that we are really making a better life for ourselves and our kids. But there's so many elements of it. And the first one that I kind of like to talk about is diet culture, which is literally, our culture is obsessed with being thin and obsessed with being on a diet. And that starts at a young age. I mean, it's now being reported that we have kids, I think age 5, who are saying they would rather lose a parent than get fat. So it, wow. So diet culture, you know, this idea that everyone is constantly on a diet, and if you're thin, you're healthy, no matter how you got to that thinness, that really is permeated, you know, every aspect of our lives. And so we are really reaching kids at such a young, impressionable age on telling them how their bodies have to be. So there's diet culture. And then we also have media and advertising, where there's zero representation of other bodies. There's zero, I mean, when is the last time that you've seen a fat person in an ad and it wasn't a tokenizing ad, or, you know, as somebody who's differently abled? I mean, we just have such this one body type that all teens and all women are striving for. And it's really unattainable. It doesn't even exist because it's been photoshopped. And then we have social media, this whole other thing that really is new in the last, you know, 10 years, but really in the last like 7 or 8 years has really, really jumped, especially with Instagram. And the way that kids' brains process faster than they process words, and how on social media everyone is putting their perfect, you know, curated life online, and yet that's not reality. So there's so much happening in the homes, online, in the world. It can be a lot, and that's why I do what I do, because I think so many times parents and adults just feel absolutely overwhelmed. It's like, where do we even start?
I want to dig into one of the things you just said right there, Dana. You mentioned that things were happening all over. What's happening in the home? As a listener, that's where I go. That's the place that I can have the most impact. Right. So what do you see happening at home?
So, you know, I'm gonna tell this story because I think it helps kind of set the tone for the effects that body shaming can have on children. So, you know, I grew up with a mom who didn't like her body, the same as most moms don't like their body. But there was one thing in particular. My mom really didn't like her upper arms. And I remember as a child watching her in the mirror and her saying how much she didn't like her upper arms. And I remember looking at myself and going, well, there was two things that happened. You know, hearing a mom that you love disparaging her body, you go, well, first of all, I see this person as perfect. This person is loving. This person provides me with safety and food and everything else. So hearing that really, it was this, like, my brain didn't understand it. But the second part of it was, I look like her. So, and I have her arms, so am I disgusting, or is my body bad? And it really, you know, a parent can say all they want, well, your body's okay, mine is bad. But if your child is a biological child of yours, they're going to have those traits. And so to hear you disparaging your own body and body shaming yourself, and then turning around and a child looking in the mirror and going, but I look like that, I have those traits. It can be really, really difficult for children. So the biggest thing that I say is, don't body shame yourself. Don't talk disparaging about your body. Don't say, ugh, I need to eat a salad because I didn't exercise. Ugh, I don't like my thighs. Ugh, I feel fat. All of these things, you're basically telling your child then that their body is also bad. And your voice is going to become your child's inner monologue. So it's really like body shame yourself. And if you're going to do it, go to another room and don't do it in front of kids.
And that's so interesting because it really goes back to one of our core messages to parents is we want to fix things for our kids, or we want to make their lives better, or we want to fix them sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that Judy and I keep telling parents is we have to model it.
Yes.
So really we need to model the body shaming. And I just wanted to also point out that body shaming is not going to be just about literally saying, you know, oh, my arms are horrible or I'm ugly. There are levels to it. When I was listening to you talk, Dana, I was just thinking of, I don't think, you know, I was trying to think back, like, did I do that? Do I do that? Mm-hmm. And what I realized is that while I was cautious about not actively doing that, I also didn't go around loving my body mm-hmm. and saying, yeah, this is fine and this is great. There right. was always this little undertone of it's not good enough.
Right. I mean, it's hard. Look, you know, I think the stuff that I said in the beginning, we're up against so much stuff. So, you know, I know that there's a big movement with loving your body, you know, body love, but look, like, body love is hard. And I think if we set the tone at body love, it's another thing for parents to fail at. Because you're not going to love your body 100% of the time. It's impossible. With all of the media and the advertising and everything coming at you, you're just not going to get there. And if you do, that's incredible. Please tell me how you did it because I need to know. call me, email me, let me know. But seriously, I mean, it's, you know, body neutrality is, I think, what we're really trying for here is just to have days that we're not attacking our bodies and we're going, you know what, it's my body's keeping me alive. And yes, you do, you know, gosh, if we could say, oh, I love my body, or, oh my gosh, our bodies are amazing. And look how strong we are and powerful we are. If we could at least say those, even if we don't feel them in front of kids, that would be amazing. But at least not being disparaging, you know, and there absolutely are levels. I love that you said that. Because there even are levels with what kind of food you keep in the house. Is everything diet food? Is everything low fat? Is everything low calorie? Do you guys count calories? Do you do points? I mean, that also is a level of body shame that is a little bit harder to pinpoint. You know, what are there good foods and bad foods in your house? You know, are there safe foods? And do you talk about clean eating? I mean, all of these things are really an example of diet culture, and it's almost every household has some aspect of it.
So even if it's not tied to weight, if it's just tied to, like you just said, good foods, bad foods, because there's so many people who are doing all different kinds of diets, my family included.
Yeah.
And I noticed that people keep asking me, is this good or bad? Can I eat this or not? And it's this cycle. And then I get frustrated because I'm like, well, it depends. And you can always have a little, and you know,
it's
sometimes tiring. So real quick, if you had other places that there are sneaky messages coming through, because that was really interesting to me. I never would have thought about the foods in the house as being part of the message.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, well, and just to go back what you said with good food, bad food, that is tied to weight. I mean, it's all a fear of fat. It's all about a fear of putting on weight. And yes, I mean, there is, you know, with the food industry and the conversation does get a little bit mucky and difficult, but really, you know, the whole idea of clean eating, good food, juice cleanses, you know, whole 30, all of these things, they're part of diet culture, and they really are like an endless quest for thinness. And unfortunately, thinness is tied with health. So we can say it's an endless quest towards health, but until we can separate thinness and health, because thinness does not equal health, we won't be able to say that it's not an endless quest towards thinness. Other messages, where are they? I mean, you know, again, social media is a huge one, but TV, ads, movies. I mean, what movies are your kids watching? Are the protagonists in the films only thin white women? And are they women in distress? Are they women who need to be saved by a man? The books you're reading, are the protagonists only young white kids? You know, I mean, are your children getting representation of different cultures, different bodies, different everything, because we really, we've set this ideal woman as this thin, white, young, you know, blonde or brunette, hairless. I mean, there's all, the list goes on, and it's, are you exposing your children to bodies that are not just that?
So there's this line, you know, of healthy, unhealthy, and how do we tell if these messages are actually impacting our children in a negative way? Are there certain things that we as parents can look for?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of education that has to happen around diet culture and eating disorders. I mean, there's an eating disorder called orthorexia that really is an obsession about clean eating. And so we have a lot of, you know, disordered eating disguised as healthy, disguised as good. And I mean, it's difficult, because again, with diet culture, but you know, I do like to talk about orthorexia with the obsession about clean eating, because we end up rewarding this kind of good food, bad food, healthy, not healthy, you know, as someone is virtuous because they are eating clean, or someone, what a good person because they only ate vegetables. And you know what? A Snickers is not going to kill you. And we have to kind of look at it as even chocolate has sugars or fats or salts or carbs or all of these things that your body needs for healthy brain and cell function. And when we label a food as just bad, we teach children that it's bad and to be afraid of it. All food, especially if you're in a pinch, I mean, I, you know, used to carb load when I would do sports as a kid. And, you know, we have diets that say carbs are bad. And so it really, we're setting kids up from such a young age to be out of touch with their intuitive eating and to be afraid because they don't know what's good. And we end up, we have diets telling us so many different things that nobody trusts their own bodies anymore.
True. True.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's also, I'm linking this back in my brain to when you were talking earlier, and it seems that maybe part of the problem is that our view of what our bodies is for is distorted. Like you were talking about, if we can't be happy with our body, at least say, you know, I'm grateful that I'm strong. And that, when you were talking about that, my brain started shifting and going, if I stop thinking about, you know, my size, my shape, my height, my acne, my hair, my whatever, my shoe size,
right,
just focused on, I'm so glad that I could do this today, or I am so grateful that I can, well, whatever it is. Unfortunately, my brain's very limited at the moment.
Yeah, that's okay.
That. But just, I think what I'm hearing from you is that we're kind of focused on just the wrong thing about what our bodies are for, that they're really here to house us, to help us do amazing things, whether that is loving our family or going out into the world and being advocate or being, you know, an athlete or whatever.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple points on this. So one is, you know, I talked to a lot of moms, and they, you know, mothers are told instantly to hate their stomachs after giving birth or pregnancy, stretch marks and all these things. And I talk to so many moms who go, you know what, I had a child and they were, you know, rubbing my stomach, and I told them that that's where they were from. And we had such a bonding moment. And it's like, we're not allowed to honor our bodies. You know, whether you have a child or you don't have a child, whether you're cis or trans, or it doesn't matter, but we're not allowed to honor our bodies. We're told that we constantly have to be changing our bodies. But I want also to kind of remove the shame, because I don't want anybody to listen to this and go, oh yeah, I do that. I'm a bad person. I'm a bad mom. I'm a bad parent. Because we're also, diet culture is a $66 billion a year industry, probably more since the last time I checked. There's all of this money is being put towards telling you messages over and over and over again that your body is not good. Of course, you're going to internalize them. So I want to also remove the feeling of I'm a bad person. I should be ashamed for the way I've talked to my body, because you're doing what you've been told. You're doing what corporations have put together you know, corporations have rooms full of psychiatrists and therapists and salespeople and business people all creating the best marketing angle to get you to hate something that you didn't know you hated. So you're up against a lot. So I want to kind of remove the shame. And it's like, okay, cool. We're on a new day. Let's start over.
I can't thank you enough for saying that, Dana. I'm sitting here and listening to you because in my head, as I'm listening to you and Sandy talk and kind of go through all those points, everything in me went, oh my gosh, I screwed up. Right. No wonder all the things I did have impacted my children who are now adults. And I was sitting here beating up myself. So I am so grateful. And I'm sure listeners out there are right there with me going, oh, thank goodness you took that pressure off.
Of course. Look, shame doesn't work. Shame doesn't work in teaching people. We've learned this in studies over and over again. I mean, the thing is, look, if shame worked, we'd all be thin, because if we body shame ourselves enough, we'd actually all stick to our diets. But shame doesn't work. And so shame, it's not going to get you to love your body. I've never hated something into loving it. It's not going to get people to treat themselves better. And it's not going to get parents to treat their kids better. So I definitely try to remove shame and everything, because you thinking you're a bad person doesn't get us anywhere.
So that's one tip for us turning the corner. Do you have some other things that we can do to stop this message getting to our kids?
Yeah. I mean, you know, removing shame, definitely. You know, definitely another thing, though, is really not body shaming yourself, learning about eating disorders, really doing some reading about diet culture, figuring out how it's affected you. I mean, there's never ending books on it. It's a lot to take in, but really kind of, you know, peeling back the curtain and seeing society a little bit more for what it is. And not body shaming yourself. I think that's the biggest one. And it's actually, studies show that women, it is now become a bonding exercise to shame ourselves, to say, oh, well, I feel bad. And then another person goes, well, I feel worse. Another person goes, well, you don't have it as worse as I do. I don't understand how that became a thing, how, you know, shaming ourselves and talking disparagingly to our bodies has become something that connects us. I feel like it's something that's just tearing us down. Yes. So removing that, it's almost like you're gossiping about yourself. Removing that negativity, that negative energy from yourself. I mean, look, at the end of the day, we live in a society that favors thin bodies. We live in a society that has beauty privilege, thin privilege, white privilege, able body privilege. So, you know, financial privilege. This is the world we live in. So this is the reality. So I'm not saying that you're going to be fixed, you know, that you're going to just stop talking disparagingly about your body and then you're going to go outside and life's going to be perfect. No, society still needs a lot of work. But if you can just remove that pressure from yourself, you will see, like, you will notice like a weight is lifted off of your shoulders of just your own personal shame and the way that you talk to your own body. And if we can stop body checking ourselves, you know, I use this example a lot of like being in a job interview, the amount of times that I've been in a meeting with someone or been in a job interview and the whole time I'm thinking, oh, I wonder if there's lipstick on my teeth. I wonder if they can see my acne. I wonder if they can see me sweating. I wonder if they can see everything about my body. Well, our brains can only hold on to so much information at one time. It's not like we can keep adding things and adding things and our brain goes, cool, I can handle 50 things and now I can handle 75 things. No, we can really, you know, a couple things at a time. So if we're filling our brain with what does my body look like instead of how am I going to answer these questions in the best of my ability, we are not, you know, we are not setting ourselves on for the best path.
So focusing on living our lives, focusing on the things we're doing, the people we're with, taking right. that focus off of ourselves,
yeah,
in at least externally off of ourselves, right. and putting it on the what we're doing, where we're going. And the other thing I was thinking about, because another theme Judy and I have is conversations. And one of my favorites was, it's been a while now, but when I heard that at one point Kate Winslet had written into her contracts that companies, advertisers, magazines, whoever, they were not allowed to Photoshop her thighs.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
It was incredible, but it gave me that talking point to talk to my daughter about this and to talk yes. to her about how amazing. I mean, Kate Winslet, we love her. She's a great actress. She plays right. these great roles. And so we were able to have that conversation mm-hmm. and it was a positive conversation about how yes. strong and how amazing she is.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I mean, even, you know, if you see your child looking at a magazine, if you see your child watching TV, you can pause it or you can look at the magazine with them and go, oh, you know that that's Photoshopped. Or, oh, have you ever seen somebody so hairless? Or, you know, oh, I wonder if they have acne. Or, you know, oh, do you know that this actor is playing a 16-year-old, but they're actually 27? I mean, you know, opening up these conversations is extremely important, and getting your child to see that not everything they're seeing is reality. And that's, you know, that's really the problem with media and advertising, especially on young kids, because I forgot the age, but I think it may be like 11, 12, 13. Up until that age, children don't really know they're being lied to. So an ad for a child, they don't see it as someone trying to sell them something. They see it as truth. They just see it as a story. So that's why, you know, brand recognition is so important in childhood. That's why most kids will pick their favorite brands for the rest of their lives when they're kind of between 10 and 15, 8 and 12, because that's when they're so impressionable and they're so believing. So it's really, it's at that age, it is so important to make sure that kids know that these ads are not their friends. The media is not their friends.
It's great because now I have this tangible thing that we can use to open up that conversation about yeah. reality. And I think as every one of our listeners put this into place, we will all just make that little shift.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, another thing too that I hadn't really talked about was, and I was reminded when you were telling the story about people had always said you were tall. And then somebody said you were short, and how just that kind of messed up, I guess, your perception of yourself and your, you know, reality of what you, how you thought your body looked. I try to tell people to see kids' insides and not their outsides. You know, when little girls are growing up, we're always telling them how pretty they are, how beautiful they are, how cute they are. We're never telling them how smart they are, how creative they are, how loving they are, how empathetic they are, how smart. And we end up telling children from a very young age with messaging that we think is loving, that their exterior is more important than their interior. So, you know, if I see a kid and I'm like, oh my gosh, that kid, it has a cute outfit or her hair is cute. I say, oh wow, did you do your hair? That's really talented. Or did you put together your outfit? Those colors are so creative. So it's instead of seeing a child and complimenting their exterior, complimenting their interior in a way that empowers them.
Okay, I think that's my favorite tip, and we're going to have to wrap up in a minute, but I just wanted to point out, we've talked a lot about girls, and I know that, you know, there tends to be more in the media about girls and women and body shape, but our boys are affected too, and a lot of tips, of course, apply to our boys, but I just wondered, Dana, if there was anything specific that you wanted to tell us about our boys and our yeah. sons that yeah. with this whole body image situation.
Oh, absolutely. For boys, I think we really have to allow boys to be vulnerable, allow boys to be soft, allow boys to cry. You know, we have this, be a man, be an adult, stand up, you know, be the tough one. And we're telling children from such a young age that they're not allowed to be empathetic and caring and soft. And we've created such a binary for girls are this and boys are this, and there's no space to exist in between. So we even have children who are non-binary, who don't even associate, or you don't identify with the pillars of girl or the pillars of boy. And we've created just this, you know, this toughness for boys that we really need to get out of, because it's hurting boys and it's hurting girls, it's hurting men, and it's hurting women. You know, when we don't allow people to feel, aggression can come out, and we have to create a space where vulnerability for boys and men is not just okay, but is wonderful. And we have to make it a safe space for them to open up about their emotions.
I really like that. And also remembering, especially as they get to be teenagers and their body image is, you know, the broad shoulders and the ripped and the cut, and to be aware of that and have those same line of conversations that we talked about for the girls, but also aim it at our boys so they don't go out and harm themselves. You know, you said you had exercise induced injuries. We don't want them to do that. We don't want them to do steroids. So I'm going to go back and do a quick summary here of at least the really high points that stuck out to me. And kicking off this idea that 80% of teen girls don't like their bodies and 65% of teens have eating disorders was, I knew there were a lot of issues, but I did not realize it was that big. So that was just an eye opener. And then,
and I just want to add, that eating disorders, it's not just bulimia and anorexia. There's a wide thing. It's binge eating. It's orthorexia. There's so many other things that we, you know, because of media, we have this one idea that an eating disorder is a thin girl. That is not what it is. There are so many different things. So I just want to like open that conversation that it's, you may not be able to see it.
Excellent. So, you know, basically we have this culture that is wrapped up in our external appearance, and we are getting messages through diet culture, through media and advertising, through social media, and through our homes. So as Judy pointed out, you know, we have the most control over our homes. We can use the things that are happening in those other places to help us start conversations with our kids. But some of the things that we can do to help them are, one, working, you know, on ourselves, helping ourselves make progress in, you know, at least feeling neutral, if not loving our bodies, but removing the shame. We can learn about diet culture and stop body checking, kind of move our focus from our external appearance to focusing on our living, who we are and what we're doing in our lives, and doing the same thing for our kids. With that, I really like that, seeing and focusing on kids' insides. And then, of course, remembering that this, you know, this isn't just for any one group of people, and this isn't even just about weight. There are so many ways that we just tear down our kids and ourselves in our culture. And Dana, this is really great. And I know there's so much more. I've spent a ton of time just reading through your press on your blog, on your website. So, and you have, you know, your Instagram and two websites. So can you please let our listeners know where they can follow you, get more from you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the best place is danasuchow.com, danasuchow.com. And that has everything. And, you know, if you want me to come speak, I do one-on-one training as well. So, you know, I'm open to everything because I think that everyone's story is a little unique with this.
That is great. Thank you so much, Dana, for the time and for sharing all of this. As I said, incredibly eye-opening and some relief and some direction. So,
thank you so much for having me. This was amazing. Thank you.
Yes. All right, Judy, what's up next?
Well, I'm really excited because there is so much going on behind the scenes at Mighty Parenting. And if you connect with us on social media, you may have noticed some changes over the last few weeks. And one of those big changes is on Facebook. And we found a way to give you everything you've asked for. You've been telling us and asking us to let you share the tips and articles and information that we posted in our group. Well, now we have a Mighty Parenting Facebook page where we will be sharing that type of content so you can easily share and engage with it.
Absolutely. Looking forward to seeing you there. Thanks for joining us today. This is Sandy Fowler with Judy Davis, reminding you that you are a mighty parent. Don't forget to stop by mightyparenting.com to see all that is available for you to use in your mighty parenting journey. See you next week.